5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have
Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is the courageous, the brave, the persevering, and I'll explain all this in a few moments, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, Goldie. Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
and that song always picks me up.
Yeah, it's a great song. It really is. It just ties together. The truth is, no matter what's going on in this chaotic world, you know, and literally, you and me, and eternally, right on. I can live with that.
I really can. Yeah, for the listeners, that's my son Zach singing. And this morning, as I was awake at 3:30, because I seem to be still on Ireland time. I got home a week ago, but I'm still waking up like I'm in Ireland. And my brother said, because that's your real home.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a part of me that's frightened you're going to go one day, I'm moving back to Ireland. Yeah. I can feel it.
Well, no, I'll come back and forth. But
okay.
I was listening to Zach sing early this morning, even his other music, and it's just so good. So I can't wait to hear
I find myself humming it. I mean, and singing. I'll be making tea. You and me in love, we are one. I'm like, wow, I am literally singing his song. It's so cool.
That's so great. That's so great. Well, as soon as all his other work comes out, we'll share it. It'll be
definitely
fun.
Definitely.
We'll have a 20 minutes of Zach singing.
Yeah, well, we'll do a show of his music. We can do that too, right?
I mean, maybe he'll let us interview him.
Yeah, well, we own the show. We can do that.
I'll have to talk to his publicist.
Okay. Well, yeah, as long as he's okay with it, of course, we can do that. That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, I want to let the audience know, you know, the reason why I gave, you know, Jay the, you know, truly the courageous, the strong, the persevere. Janine right now is on day 3 without heat, and
it was 29 this morning, but I do have a little portable heater, so it's not, you know, it's not crazy cold,
right.
But if you can hear it in my voice that, you know, I'm in a colder room than normal, so
yeah.
I got my down jacket on and a big down comforter, but I am not freezing, trust me.
But and you're a trooper, and she didn't cancel tonight. I mean, it was going to be so easy to go, listen, I don't got heat. We're not doing a show. And
well,
but
Hurricane Sandy, I was doing it literally
in the dark.
Literally by, yeah, it was, and oh my God. So this is kind of luxury. I've got electric, I've got hot water, you know, so we're okay. And
Right on.
That's
but
right,
I want the audience to know, you know, this is what we really do represent. I mean, we represent walking our talk. That is one of the skunks' wisdom, walking your talk.
Is that what it is?
That's walk one of talk? Them. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, you know, the things that you're really committed to.
Yeah.
There's a return, but you show up committed. You know, I mean, Janine. she shows up. I'm very honored and blessed. And
thanks.
I love it because this is the frequency that she puts out it through the radio, and everybody that's attracted to the show, you guys are showing up too, you know, in your own lives.
And yeah, showing up ski.
Showing up ski. Yes, and even the Polish people are showing up.
Wait, why? We should explain that to you.
What did you mean by showing up ski?
No, showing up is key. I was like, wait, I didn't get that joke.
I didn't get what you said. Yes, showing up is key, and this has nothing to do with being Polish.
That's so great. That's so great.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Oh, that was good. Yes, no, we are not making fun of anybody's ethnicity or anything
all.
Like that. She SKI. It's a Polish thing. wow, big week. Big week, big week. A lot of energies moving. Definitely want to share. I had written in the write-up, I definitely want to talk about guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because two significant people in my life stepped out of their comfort zone and shared what quote-unquote used to, and I use this as used to be, because there's a defining moment that's happening here, my friends, between old energy and new energy and new consciousness. And Janine and I are going to bring this into awareness, because, I mean, I have a feeling this is happening for everybody, but the fact that people are stepping out of, quote-unquote, what used to be a private thought,
mm-hmm.
what used to be, quote-unquote, maybe a secret,
mm-hmm.
is tremendous in breaking out of the matrix hold. It's so tremendous. I know, because I've experienced it myself, but I'm watching others experience it now. And, you know, there's... As we share, you know, it's like the energies we're leaving behind are guilt and shame. But what's so fascinating is I can see in consciousness, and I can see this by watching reality TV, I can see it in my own life, I can see it from the shares that Janine has shared with me. The flip side of letting go of guilt and shame is relationships that are not in harmony with gratitude,
mm-hmm.
are they're disintegrating. You know, I can see it in my own life. I can see that where people didn't even have a consideration that gratitude should be. Like, in other words, I was watching this show, a marathon, on this woman named Zoe Ray Project. Okay, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel Zoe Project. Yeah.
Rachel Zoe. And
yeah.
Did you watch some of it?
No, but I haven't recently, but I've seen parts of it before.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. Now
yes.
she has a small crew.
Right.
That helps her business. She's a she designs people. She clothes people, stars and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
stylist.
And
of,
stylist.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
you know, clearly Goldie does it. This is not my world. But I enjoy watching. I just enjoy watching reality TV, because in all honesty, you can definitely get from a tracking perspective. We should
yeah.
not underestimate reality TV. Even though I get it that it's edited to make it look like everybody's fighting. I get that. But what I did notice is there was, I don't even remember the girl's name, but there was one of the girls that works with Zoe, or Rachel, is
yeah.
she was clearly not being appreciated by Rachel Zoe. And
okay.
And throughout, and because it was a marathon, I could see it through episode after episode after episode, you know, she doesn't care that Rachel Zoe is famous. She doesn't care that Rachel Zoe pays her. what you can, I'm watching her, and she's not verbalizing this. She's definitely holding everything in, and I don't think it's because of the cameras. I get the sense of that's just the kind of person she is. People don't know how to verbalize their own desires, but when you can read energies, I mean, I'm watching this girl, and I'm going, oh, she's not happy at all. And she is in, like, her little sidebar things going, you know, I hate my job. And she goes, I want to be doing something more fashion-related. And the truth is, she was doing, you know, she's working with Rachel Zoe, who does have all these fashion connections, for 3 years. And I can tell until this year, and I don't know when this was taped, whether it was actually this year, it could have been the end of 2012, or in 2012 at some point. I don't know. But I can tell you that from my personal awareness, I can see that she's going to leave. Just know she, because, and what I get excited about is that people from the inside are finding that you can't stay without being appreciated. Mm. You know, you can get paid, you can make connections, but I really believe if you're not appreciated, relationships of all kind are going to be diminished from that, because it's something from the inside that, I guess the best way to describe it is, it's such a new consciousness. It has everything to do with love of self, and because it's, I don't think it's just about not being appreciated, even though that's what we're noticing first. I think it also will bring out our ability to appreciate.
That's a good point.
Right, because nothing happens in a vacuum. It can't happen on one side only. It's going to happen on both sides. And I can tell you that I have had this issue with most of the families I work for. What inevitably happens is I don't feel appreciated, and you know, and then you just start, you find yourself, you're picking at things or you're not doing the certain things. You know, it's just a degradation. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah.
A degradation of the whole structure of the relationship. Everything starts breaking down. And it's not because I'm not getting paid, or it's because I can sense I'm not appreciated. Everybody can feel it, because once you're aware of it, it really becomes, like, so to speak, the pink elephant in the room if you're not getting it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we were just saying that yesterday, so it's funny that you saw that on the reality show.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Well,
yeah,
and I do think that, and I was just speaking about that today in a therapy session, and another good point that you really brought up was also the flip side of that is self-appreciation.
Right on.
Because you're right, it isn't just a one-sided vacuum, and I think for me, the times are supporting it's no longer supporting the relationships where there isn't appreciation. You know, I just see that as something, it's up for me, it's up for you, it's up for several people that I talk to, and it's, you know, we were just talking about that, I think, yesterday. And
We were.
And unrelated to you, I was having this conversation today with someone else, so That's pretty apparent that is
exactly.
That's up, you know.
That's
and
where the frequency has
it's
us
really
right now.
Great
exactly.
For this to be up, because it's one of the common. I think for me, when I look back, it's something that I didn't notice in my early life, but then now I really see that where I'm not appreciated is just not a place for me to be. It's not in resonance, and it's a moving on kind of thing, and it's okay. I mean, it's not like, you know, we need to create drama vortexes.
Right.
It's a really natural, organic process of moving out of a situation or relationship where there is a lack of appreciation. I think that's
absolutely
very healthy and very organic and very self-loving and self-respecting, and
Not based on a dollar. That's what I find.
It's the
antithesis of it. It's the antithesis of it.
Yeah. And so many things are not based on a dollar.
But often people shove those emotions down. I got to pay the bills. And in the meantime, you know what? Cancers and tumors not just indigestion, but ulcers. Those are all about doing things that you're not appreciated. You know you're not appreciated, but you don't do anything about it. You continue to do it because the justification is, I have a relationship.
And probably a lot of the suppressed immunology diseases as well. Because it's like a weakening. It weakens the body. It weakens, the emotional structure. And
it does, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Exactly.
So it's like you were bringing up, I don't know, we've been seeing it where shame and guilt, but mostly for me, what I noticed was the shame aspect and was being dealt with in a way that I went, oh. And Goldie told me a story where someone really came forward and, said something revealing and surprising, but it was such a good thing. And I had this image in the film Under the Tuscan Sky, which is in a great
Under
film.
The Tuscan Sun. Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah, Under the Tuscan Sun. And there's just this one section that I thought, immediately, because I think this way, I thought of when you reveal something that's been suppressing and you have courage and you do something about it. I saw this image that's in the movie when she first moves into this house that she buys because she just doesn't want to live in fear anymore, and she makes a big change and she's taking a risk and it's like a new beginning. She moves into this house that needs some repair work, but not terribly, but there's a faucet coming out of the wall that's obviously hooked to an in-ground natural spring. But when she goes to open the faucet, it opens, but there's no water. Hmm. And then along in the film, as she progresses along and she's kind of gathering her life back and her confidence, and she at one point she meets a man and she kind of has a one-night affair, and it was just a kind of an awakening to that part of herself again. Mm-hmm. And I think she notices there's a little drip coming out of the faucet. And to me that was just the life force coming back.
Right on.
And then by the end of the movie, there's just all this movement and manifestation and a new baby's in the house and there's a wedding and all kinds of life is going on now. And as this movie ends with the water gushing out of the faucet, and it's just an image that I see when somebody opens up and they let go of something that's been suppressing them and holding them, and it's a courageous move. I said to Goldie, there's a little drip coming out of the faucet. And I explained it to her, and she got it, because that's how I see the water is so representative of, deep emotional well-being. Because it's like, springs in the ground, they're just always relating to great energy and feminine energy and life force. And so that was something that I've noticed just in the last 3 days is, revealing, letting go of shame, huge, 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 and noticing where in relationship you're not feeling appreciated. And then I love what you just said about, and then self-appreciation, because that's hand in hand.
It is hand in hand.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also, because the flip side is also, it's the power of secrets.
Yeah.
Because, shame and guilt and secrets, that's like the trinity of, in all honesty, those are the prison bars of the matrix.
Yeah, they're really definitely like a weight, a suppression, a holding.
Absolutely.
And it's been, society and personal people have really learned how to, from an early age, how to manipulate people by doing that, you know, and it's amazing how I think in some respects people have normalized it, and it's so,
absolutely.
It's, to me, it's such a violation of loving somebody, you know, it's like, really? It's such the opposite of loving someone. So
right. It's controlling someone, not loving.
Yeah, but it's sad that it's been normalized so much. And what's really great though is when you see people kicking that one, you know, and
absolutely.
And that's why you and I feel very supportive of that. And
well,
yeah,
and I gotta share, you know, the
yeah.
second email. So, because I gotta share this story, because I'm compelled to share it.
okay.
Now I'm not gonna use any names because I'm a player, but I'm not the main character. So somebody wrote on their wall a strong revealing, and I'll give the subject matter because. You know, I mean, he did reveal it, so, you know, it's on the wall. A strong subject matter of masturbation and pornography. And I was so, personally, so excited when I saw him with share this information. And he literally put on the top of it, warning, this is a truth. If you can't handle it, don't read it. It reminded me very much of myself. Which, of course, didn't surprise me because me and this gentleman have spoken on the phone before, and I encourage him always to share his truth. Whatever his truth is, share your truth, own your truth, and then work through it. So, I was doing backflips because it really was, it was a monumental share. And somebody private messaged me that was friends with him. Again, I won't use any names, and essentially was, you know, the judgment was coming out that, you know, he was dangerous, and, you know, there were small children involved, and all sorts of stuff, all sorts of attacking. It was a woman. She was attacking him, and she sent this message to me, do you know this? He told me this, he told me this, blah, 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 blah. And I just want to read you my initial response. I go, why are you telling me this? Don't you feel it's so-and-so's right to choose who knows this and who doesn't? You're outing him on his experience only makes me cautious of you, not him. And I want to share that because clearly this person doesn't know who I am, because God knows I have shared drug addictions, the whole nine. I'll admit there are still some topics I have not shared on the air yet, and I definitely feel 2013 will be the year I will share it. I'm open to doing that. I'm not going to do it tonight because it isn't about, you know, okay, let's list Goldie's secrets. But I have clearly shared so much of my skeletons, and I do that because I have the confidence to know that these skeletons are these curses, so to speak, these secrets, I've turned them around and created them to my benefit. You know, 99% of all counselors are ex-drug addicts. Why? Because they understand the journey, and I understand that.
Right.
I love that George Kavassalis in 2004 stood up and said, I'm working with the Galactic Federation of Light, because then he stood up in 2007 and said, I was manipulated. And I'm like, right on. His acknowledgement of his manipulation is such a more a show of character than to deny it.
Right.
It's in the denial that the Matrix still, in my humble opinion, has a hold of your balls. I don't care if you're a girl or a boy. We all got balls, and some of them are in vice grips, and some of them aren't. So when this woman, you know, because I believe she sent me the private email because I had supported my friend in his coming out of masturbating to pornography. But clearly she didn't know me, because she was looking for me to jump on a bandwagon that was totally in judgment of what he was coming out for. And what I truly recommend to everybody to be conscious of, we all have skeletons. We all have secrets. We did not come to this planet born into a matrix, born into a deceptive belief system, and come out spotless. That's not the point. You didn't come here to not have secrets. But now is the time, clearly now is the time, for all to be forgiven, including self. And therefore, when someone comes out, it's the act of coming out that you support.
Right.
And for me, this is, it's a no-brainer. Because I never once, I had a bit of a dialogue with this woman, and I never once said to her, no, he wouldn't do that. Because if what she was saying is true, okay, then it's true. So that's one of his, that's another one of his secrets, you know. Something happened with, you know, a small child. I don't care. I really don't care. Everybody is redeemable here, my friends. Every single act is redeemable. And I say this to you with the clarity to know for me, everything I've ever done, I have no guilt and shame about it. None. The only reason why I hold back on all of my offerings is because what I hold back now is of a sexual nature, and I'm a nanny. And, you know, that could fuck me up, in all honesty. And you know, I'm not looking to do that to myself. I'm not looking to do a nosedive, so to speak, from a career point of view. But I can tell you, 2013 is screaming for me to be 100% transparent. And so in due time, I will.
Right.
Right now, I'm looking for a job. So that's just, you know, it is what it is. But I truly, it was not about telling this girl, you know, he's not doing that. And it wasn't about telling this girl, oh, my God, yes, I should hate him now. All I focused on was, with the girl who came to me, all I kept saying to her was, this is all a reflection of you. Everything you're feeling negative towards him is you. Because she kept going, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, too, that it's unconscious reactionary as well, which I really
totally
think that one of the key places that anybody, whatever side of the, you know, this, you know, that someone's on, the ability to look at yourself so that you become reactionary and in an unconscious way, which is what I believe this person exhibited, because there was something almost like he hit a nerve in her and she had some kind of reaction, but to me it was unconscious and it was, you know, unsophisticated.
It was old energy, too. That's what you called it. You were like, that's so old energy. And I'm like,
it is of an old paradigm. But
yeah.
And probably for herself, it's old energy.
Well, yeah, because
she
put herself on a pedestal, and he was, you know, the lowly creature, you know, the monster. How could, you know, and it's like, you know, my thought is, if I could have Wonder Woman's, you know, that the truth thing, the truth belt that she wraps around people, somehow I get the feeling, there's a sexual history to her, whether she's been abused or she's done some abusing, it's there. It's very clear to me it's there. And when I kept putting it back to her going, you know, because she kept going, he needs help. And I went, we all need help. Who are we kidding? I go, and that includes you. And her answer was, perhaps.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Because as soon as I got that she wasn't going to own any of it as being hers, this conversation is complete. Because I'm not here to defend, because she goes, you're just defending your friend. And I was like, I'm defending the truth. And there's a big difference.
Right. No, and that was obvious. And to me, it was just like a unconscious reaction.
You're so right on. You're so good with it. I mean, God bless. Janine, to be able to remember in the movie Under the Tuscan Sun, the water, It's like, I remember that movie, and I did not make the conscious connection that the water didn't run, and then it dripped, and then it gushed, as life force. It's like, I'm telling you guys, you should all have some Janine. Janine should rain on your life, because the awareness is just profound, and it is clearly, it is an unconscious response, and she's not looking to get conscious, because...
And it's reactionary rather than even a thoughtful response, because if you have a thoughtful response, okay, in all due respect, you know, what's your thoughtful response? But unconscious reactionary is really, can be damaging. Obviously, you didn't let it be, because you didn't buy into it.
Wouldn't even dance with it. That's exactly right.
Right, which is, you know, because you've been there, done that. You've lived these situations where, you know, you have the courage to come forward, and you know, it's all. And see, to me, that's wisdom, because experience teaches us. I mean, and I think you had some great line about wisdom. I don't forget what it was, but you know, in experience, and I think too, also, it shows a lack of wisdom on her part. You know,
knowledge is something knowledge comes into your head. Wisdom is the experience of the knowledge. You got to live.
Wisdom
comes through living it, not reading it from a book.
Exactly, and so that's why, you know, and it's got a lot of depth to it, you know,
right.
And so, yeah, so that's what I got from that whole exchange that, you know, that you shared with me, that I just saw a lack of wisdom, a lack of maturity, and unconscious reaction.
Right.
And, you know, that's where, you know, and that can be as damaging as anything, because it's somewhat of character depth, you know, what is that, character deformation, where somebody comes in and they just, you know, they just start, you know, saying these things that you know, pretty much just try to take someone else out because they have an agenda. And so
that's what it felt like, too. I'll be quite honest with you. It absolutely felt like, you know, she was kicking the horse when he was, you know, vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so funny because, you know, our conversation lasted, you know, a good 8 or 9 paragraphs between the two of us, and I wouldn't let up on her. I just kept bringing it back to her, and, you know, she clearly kept going, you know, perhaps, no, well, maybe, no, it's all about him, and it's like, no, it's really all about you. you know, because, I mean, when she told me, I, the first thing I wrote was, you know, by the way, I cut and pasted and put it in his private message, so he does know he shared it. You know, meaning, you know, I don't know if you're doing this on the sly or not, but it's not going to be sly anymore.
Oh, right.
You know, because I was also saying to her, why are you telling me this? Talk to him. You know, it's like, what are you trying to rally me against Frankenstein? Is that what you're trying to do here?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing, because I remember doing some really great conflict resolution work with Angela Sarian, where it was really intense, and it was for 12 days, and you were in the middle of nowhere, so there was no escaping the intensity, which you wouldn't want to, because that's why you were there.
Right.
But I do remember that behavior like that is called collusion, and it's also going around into the back door, and that's one of the things in real skill of conflict resolution. You just never join in collusion, and you never backdoor anything. Everything is, you know,
upfront,
transparent,
right?
You know, it's really for me what's so beautiful about even the conversation tonight is the value is that the art of relating is such a complex dynamic, but it takes, you know, and okay, so we all make mistakes, and perhaps in our lives we've been, you know, gone through the back door and we've been part of a collusion, but I have to say I witnessed a lot of that going on in this 12-day training, and what came out of it was so extraordinary, because you really learn that for true transformation to happen, whether it's within a person, two people, three people, a collective, a country, a world, the skill of conflict resolution can only happen when people don't collude, when they don't go in the back door, when they're not judging. You know, there's open forum for discussion, and it's a safe place.
Right.
And see, so when someone creates a place of unsafety, you immediately do not have the environment for conflict resolution. And so, to me, that's everything, because no magic can occur, no transformation can occur for all our good unless that's what we're all willing to do. And so that's one of the greatest, that's one of the things that interests me more than anything.
Listen,
is like,
this needs to be done. You'll hear it.
Together, you're like, so Jay, what do you like? And I'm like, the art of relating, conflict resolution.
True, yeah,
and
right,
and
right.
I love the ability to hold the space and creative tension, because this is where all the magic occurs. But nobody can be pointing fingers. Well, you can, but you're going to be called out, and you're not going to be constructive.
Right.
And so what's the point? You know, it's like, do you want to be constructive or do you want to be destructive?
And let's ask it this way. So do you want where we've been, or are you ready to create life anew? I mean, that's what we're talking about here,
so,
people.
So anyway, this is an amazing topic, and it opens.
And you really you bring amazing clarity to it. You bring amazing. You know, I'm still I'm fired up about this. You know, this is what I invite everybody to do. Get a really clear partner.
I don't have clarity, but I enjoy the art of relating.
Whatever it is that you're going to share. So if you're indeed an emotional being, which I very much am, then you can have your emotions, and then you go, hit it, Jay. And Jay comes in as the voice of reason that actually has substantial, you know, like PhD kind of experiences to put behind this.
Well, I threw myself in that cauldron, you know, really wanting to, because I find, you know, this is like the area where, you know, it separates the, maybe the child from the adult, only in the, you know, the ability to want to be constructive, to really want to support transformation, both personally and with other people.
Okay,
and,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, you can make mistakes. You can screw up. You can, you know, react.
And I beg to find somebody who hasn't. I mean,
right.
Somebody who hasn't.
Right. So that's fine, but it's really good to be able to learn from that and own it. And, you know, I just remember so much that, you know, the great teacher, Angela Sarian, where, you know, don't enter this hot kitchen unless, you know, you can take the heat. Because,
right.
But I enjoy that complexity, because that is life. And so, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And why would anybody? I thought that what went over these past 3 days, you know, I thought it was amazing, really, what he did. You know,
It is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
I am such a supporter for anyone that has the courage to own their experience. And, you know, it really seems like now is the time where there's like this divine compensation.
Yeah.
By owning it now, the frequencies will bring you such a benefit that it's like literally the quantum leap of consciousness. Well, Janine, when we were speaking briefly before the show started, if you look at David Hawking's list of...
Yeah, this was a surprise to me. You know,
go ahead, you share this part. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, someone recommended that she said, I think you'll really enjoy this book. And so in the book by David Hawkins, which, you know, I had no idea, so it was good, because I like not knowing, and then, so it's fresh. I didn't have any preconceived, you know, ideas. And I see this chart that he created on consciousness and measuring it. And, you know, and it starts at the bottom, with the emotions or the suppressions or whatever you want to call them, at the very bottom that create a situation of kind of anti-life or that doesn't support life force, versus it works its way all the way up to 200, and which is, by the way, isn't it amazing? Courage and truth-telling is the turnover, which then puts you...
Well, that's when it becomes an affirming, right? That's when your life energy
is affirming
you.
Isn't that amazing? We're talking about courage and truth-telling.
Okay,
so
exactly.
So that's the turning point. But at the very bottom of the suppression of consciousness is shame. And I was like, wow, look at that. That's a very heavy, suppressing, you know, emotion. I don't even know what you'd call it, but...
Well, state of being.
Yeah, or, you know, or just a weight. And so to really approach and get rid of shame
by
courage and truth-telling,
you
really start the momentum or the leaking of the faucet, you know, because... You really start like unburdening it would remind me, it's like all these rocks were kind of stuck together and you start loosening them, you know, and to me that's what it is. So I was very surprised that shame was at the bottom, and that obviously it's very powerful in suppressing, you know,
consciousness,
but also to me consciousness as it goes up, you are really moving towards authenticity, the liberated self, and so think of yourself in weighted down by shame. You're really living like a prisoner, and you're not your authentic self. So it's like reaching out for life when you let go of that. And see, that's a place for, you know, true support to a person.
Right. Well, and here's the irony. Here's the list below 200. So what I'm going to read to you are all the emotions and or focuses of energy and how we're seeing a filter that literally keeps us from our life force. It keeps us kind of squeezed off from our life force. So there's shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride.
Yeah. And then where's the turning?
Okay, so the turning point is 200, which is courage.
Right.
Neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. And according to, I forget who it was the things that we read on the, you know, the MK Ultra guys, I think, that said, if you're vibrating at the frequency of love, which according to David Hawkins is 500, you're invisible to the reptilians and the grays and the whole agenda of the fourth dimension. They don't even see you anymore. Or I would imagine if they do see you, you're literally a light so bright they can't. They have to cover their eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like that's when you don't even have to dance. That you don't have to dance in that space. You know, and again, this is a love that is not. It's not conditional. This is not the love. In all honesty, I'm like, you know, I might piss people off. You know. By saying this, but this isn't necessarily love your parents gave you or your boyfriend or your sister or your brother. And I say that only because we are all coming out of this essentially below 200 experience. You know, so so let's honor that. If you're going to get to that love, the truth is there's nobody on the planet that's going to get you there but yourself. So you've got to, you know, release all the attachment that love has anything to do with another person. Because we were all under the spell of under 200. So, you know, this is about experiencing this ourselves from within. And, you know, there's definitely a momentum going here where people are going within. you know, and things like, you know, and it's so funny because there's also the momentum that the entire cosmos, well, the entire solar system's in a different spot in the Milky Way galaxy, which seems to be supporting going within like it's nobody's business, which is why effortlessly people are no longer willing to stay in a relationship where they're not, there's no gratitude for them being there. I mean, that's what I'm seeing, and, you know, I just think it's awesome. I just think it's awesome. So if you're going within, you're certainly going in the direction of the higher states of consciousness, you know, the above 200. Courage, neutrality, willingness, these are, it's what we're talking about.
Yeah, courage. And, you know, with that, I recall as I read some of his descriptions, you know, comes truth-telling, and that takes courage. And
absolutely.
You know, it's a leap, and it's a great leap.
It's a quantum leap, in my humble opinion.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And I love that, just looking at that anger's up there at the list, because I do believe that anger has a force that can move you to, you know, it's a more surface, you know, feeling or motive than shame. They are so suppressed, you know, so
well,
anger
exactly
actually gets
right.
moving.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the key, what's interesting, anger is below 200, but I look at anger and say, anger serves me exactly like you're saying, in that it promotes me to want to change. When I get angry with Scott and say, listen, you're not going to talk to me anymore with that curt voice, because I'm not putting up with that shit. That is, there's a self-respect that, you know, by getting angry, I really do recognize he could say, well, get the hell out of the house. I'm not changing. You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's like anger definitely shows up as, you know, it's a game changer. And I don't, in my humble opinion, I don't think anger, if used organically, meaning if I want change, I'm going to get angry. But it's, you know, holding a grudge, staying angry for 10 years at somebody, not talking to them.
Right.
That's when anger is so, you know, it's working against you. Anger as, you know, a
motivator.
Yeah, as an assistant to change, I think it's priceless. You can't do it without it. You know, it's a famous saying, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. I agree with that. So, you know, so it's interesting with, because, and what was it? Wait, and I left the page. So, because it's anger. Oh, and I'll be honest, pride, I so get, see, understand how pride is what I've been terming lately the moat around people's being. It's like it keeps the soul at arm's distance. Because humility is extraordinary in the actual integration of the frequencies of love at 500. You cannot integrate without humility. Why? Because we have all been programmed to live under this 200 mark. You can't get away from it. You were born on the planet. It doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter if you were raised by Tibetans. It doesn't. The matrix is shit. It's in our pineal gland. The matrix has affected us genetically. But you know, hey, Bruce Lipton's already stated you can change your genetics. You know, you can consciously change your genetics. Which I have no doubt. My mother died of cancer. Her sister died of cancer. My grandmother died of cancer. I will not die of cancer. I know I won't die of cancer. Simply because I work through my shit. And how do I work through it? Well, first, I own it. And, it's just pride is, in my humble opinion, I see it all the time. People going, I know, I know, I know. And then they repeat the problem and the situation because they don't get on their knees and go, I knew wrong. Maybe I should learn again. Maybe I should relearn. Maybe I should simply allow myself to say, I know, but I really don't know. You know, there's so much
power. Yeah,
that's
where that neutrality, neutrality comes in there because, you know, you can really just look at yourself when that neutrality place is there, where it just no longer, you're not even, and that's where humility comes in, because it, you know, you're in a neutral place when humility shows up, because you can't be holding pride, you can't be holding a position, and humility can come in, it just won't.
Not going to shift, you know, because I think I started talking about this last week, but I'm so getting clarity on this, that the changes that we're looking for, whether it's this opt, one people something trust, or mm-hmm. or just the connection with your own soul, whatever it is that you've set the goal for yourself at this time as accelerated evolution, requires your participation. There's not a government
right.
that can give this to you. There's not a quote-unquote God that can give this to you. And I'll tell you, there's going to come a day where the gods are going to come down from the heavens, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Ashtar Command, and they're going to go, we can give it to you. And the truth is, and they can give you their interpretation of the ascension, and they'll put you in their devices, and they'll give you the rush of adrenaline and you know, the stimulation and the bliss of Kundalini energy, but that ain't fit. You have not left the matrix, because you've done that, and you can
yeah.
kid yourself all you want and say you have, but you haven't. The participation that needs to be done has to be from within self. There's no leaving the matrix unless it's you doing it. And the beautiful part is, now flip that, because remember, everything exists as polarity. Okay, so we can't do it unless we do it ourselves, but then when we flip it, you go, and the beautiful part is, and the one person you're guaranteed to have throughout life who's with you this entire journey is yourself. So the best thing is, what you need is already here. You don't need anything from anybody else. And I'm not saying I don't appreciate when Jay, you know, Jay is the, Janine has helped me see things so clearly these past couple of years. Just unbelievable clarity. In fact, I got a hit the other day and I wrote it down. You know, you are my Sam Weisgoff, Sam. You are. It's like you're going with me to bring
Sam
the ring back.
Sam Weisgandhi.
Sorry, Sam Weisgandhi. It's like, because every time I've ever seen that movie, I love Frodo, but I love Sam. I've always been like, I want to be Sam, and I realize you're my Sam.
Thank you.
Everybody should have a Sam. Okay, let me stop getting all emotional.
You know what I love? I love that when you said, you know, the matrix and the coming in at 200, and you know, but what I love is when you think about it, ultimately there's us reeling across the universe and happening to be crossing the galactic center, and honestly, you know, that can't be manipulated. And I love that. That's the timing and so that's why now is such a rich time, really a facilitated time to work with it. And I mean, whether we are or not, I mean, we are being affected by it, which is great. But you can.
Well, we're either being prepared to leave the matrix through self, or we're being prepared to leave the planet through the matrix. Because that, whether people recognize it or not, if you're putting your energies into deities or, you know, Saint Germain, ascended masters,
outside of yourself,
anything outside of yourself, including totem animals.
Just think about the word center. You know, so it's encouraging.
Yeah, it's nothing outside. Good point. Right on.
Right. So it's encouraging. So without is within. So if you're at the center, well, what is the center? The center is within self. And because it's a mirror of ourselves, it's a fractal of ourselves, so it makes so much sense that this is the time to go within, and it's completely supported by the external placement of the planet we're on. You know,
exactly.
So
because our solar system is now in the center of the galaxy.
I know.
We
are in a
bigger center of a being.
It's so encouraging.
Wow, that was a good one. It's so encouraging. Well, it's so interesting because, you know, as soon as you started saying that, it's like I can literally visualize that, you know, there are people that, lots of people, that truly don't believe they've got it inside, what it takes inside of them to do this journey. I mean, they truly don't believe that.
I know, and that's you would call that like a, not a mass
the illusion?
Trance.
What?
It's not a mass trance. There's another, like a collective trance.
Mesmerized, you know, being mesmerized, or?
Well, it's like a collective trance where.
No, exactly. It's just not
showing up yet in their consciousness that they are their own center, that this is not about being, you know, part of like a belief system of any being is greater outside of yourself. But that is truly, I was just thinking about that today when I was hearing all this stuff about, you know, voting for a new pope, and I'm going, well, oh my God, people really are still really thinking that way, you know, and they are in huge numbers, but it's just sort of a trance to me, or
it is, and the first thing that comes to my mind when we say, when I hear it from you outside of me, because remember I'm the emotional one, is the first thing I hear is, because from a soul perspective, it's not their journey to leave. At this point.
Okay,
We're eternal, everybody. If it's not your time to leave, you know, well, from an eternal point of view, it really doesn't matter now, does it? Because when it's time, you will.
But being in the galactic center, it's like, really? Come on.
Well, for people who are ready to leave, I mean, I'm doing backflips. I am so excited. And I'll tell you, I heard an interview, and I'll share it with you. I'll email it to you. George did an interview the other night on the Zany Mystic. And, you know, he's repeating himself, but not. And it's interesting because I love listening to George. He resonates with the host and brings out information that really is well-balanced when you put all his interviews together. But one of the poignant things he said, and he, of course, says lots of poignant things, but for myself, one of the poignant things he said was, right at the end, he goes, as his closing statement, he goes, listen, this needs to play out. The battle between the artificial light and the artificial dark needs to play out. And like, it just struck me as, because I know for a fact this is not about, I'm going to share something with you in a minute, this is not about fighting the reptilian influence over me. And I do have reptilian influence over me. Hell yeah. I'll tell you a story this week where I believe that the reptilians are, and whether or gray, I believe that there's interference in my life, which up until today, it was so funny. I went to the woods today. I always know, Gus, go to the woods. But listen, when it's winter and it's raining, And it's, you know, cold out, I'll go to the woods in the summer if it's raining, truly, and I have done that. I love playing in the mud. I think it's just fantastic. In fact, some people pay like hundreds of dollars to play in the mud. It's free if you just go when it's raining in the summer. But I don't go in the winter when it's like that. And when I went today, I sat there and unwound, and it was funny because when I first got in there, I made a few phone calls to some friends. That wasn't working. It was not helping me. Then I just sat. I just sat and went, okay, it's not about changing what I'm going through outwardly. It's not about, because I've been freaking out lately about finances, just freaking the fuck out about finances. And once I just sat there and let the trees do their magic with my energy field, and I turned around and I was watching the water change its frequency, I mean, well, I'll share what actually happened, because it was, Well, let me start from last week. So, but my point is, when George says this has to play out, the hook. Me and Janine often talk about there's a hook that gets us entangled. The hook is believing you have to fight it. You have to fight for the good. You have to fight for the light. No, 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 no. If your journey is leaving the matrix, watch the light, watch the dark. That's the neutral part. Just watch. Because, okay, so last week I'm reading a PDF book by Susan Reed. I'm not sure what it was called. It was called something.
I don't recall the title.
I don't recall the title. But it was essentially about a woman who wrote a book about her relationship with her boyfriend who was fully a reptilian. I mean, and he was, you know, these are basically, you know, they're deep in the system between the military, the aliens, and this woman. And she was describing weapons that they had been using on not just her, but like she was, and these weapons are not, it's so funny, these are not weapons like we use. These aren't bullets and knives. The weapons these fourth dimensional beings are using are done through frequency. Frequencies that, in my humble opinion, 9/11 was a weapons device, a frequency device. That's why when the building came down, it literally came down within its own space. Because what they did is through the, you know when you make a high-pitched sound, it cracks glass?
Yeah.
Well, they have frequencies that can literally dissolve steel.
Okay,
and so
it
imploded on itself. So they have those, but they also have frequency devices that are made to create depression, anxiety, uneasiness, sadness, because what frequencies? I mean, frequency has so much to do with everything we are. I mean, everything we are. So I'm reading this book, and you know, I'm just one of those I need to know kind of gal. And so is Janine, because she's like, send it to me, Goldie. When you find something that you think is worth reading, send it to me or sing. Mm-hmm. So then I'm getting to the she's talking about ways to clear the body of the effects of these frequency devices. And one of the first things she says is, you need to be in water. And I'm like flipping out, doing back handsprings again, going, son of a bitch. When I was in the woods over the summer, I got a straight hit, and you guys all know that, have been listening to the show for a while. It was like, I need to join the YMCA. I need to submerge myself in water. Then she goes on to say, and the best kind of water to be in is where the jets are propelling your body, on your body, you know, and essentially a jacuzzi, or it would also be like a natural spring. Or I was even talking to a friend of mine who said, you could even get one of those, like, you know, you take off the shower head, And you can put it on a pulsing.
Oh, right.
I was like, God, that's brilliant. I want to share that on the show. And you can buy those things for like $15-$20.
Right.
And she said, you know, it really works best if you do it for like at least a minimum of 20 minutes. So I got so stoked when I got to this part of the book. I literally, at that moment that I read, and 20 minutes of propulsion jets in water, you know, it helps your being. And I was like, it was such a confirmation for what I've been doing. I stopped reading. I got all my why and my why stuff together. I called Janine. I'm like, I got to tell you about this. And as soon as I get to the why, I hung up the phone with Janine. As soon as I get to the why, the jacuzzi is broken. There's 6 inches of water in there. And here was my first thought. When I saw that, I literally went, Goldie, put your hand in there, because I don't know if that's true or not. Like, what ended up happening to my experience was, instead of feeling empowered that I have the water, I literally went, are they affecting my mind?
Right.
That I'm
real.
Seeing this is broken, and, you know, sure as shit, I put my hand in, and nope, there's really only 6 inches of water. And up until today, this was last week, like I think Tuesday night, I think it was a week tomorrow. So I haven't been in the woods, and I haven't been in my jacuzzi all week. Now, of course, the key to this is, this came at a time where I now read, and it's now in my awareness, that there's frequency weapons, that, you know, if I'm not getting in the jacuzzi, I'm not clearing it from my being. Now, you can say, well, how do you know you're getting these frequency weapons? Well, I don't, but I can tell you my emotions have definitely not top in the last 6 days. I mean, I call it as I see it. And, I mean, getting into the woods today definitely felt better. I feel better. What I really comes down to knowing is, it's just this acceptance. It's like, okay, listen, I can't explain this, but, well, I'm going to try. It's hard to explain this.
Remember what we said? When you start approaching, like, conversations that are multidimensional, it really is hard to explain.
Thank you. Right on.
You remember that? We both had the same experience in a conversation, I think, 2 days ago, where I was trying to explain something to you, and I go, you know that? And then you said, yeah, it's so multidimensional, Jay, I can't even explain. And I go, that's what I mean.
Yes.
So I think that does end up happening. So,
well,
okay.
but I want to share, because there is a level of me that feels, you know, listen, me and Janine are, at this point, we have 1,000 listeners a week. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that I look at that and go, reptilians would take notice to that. You know, we don't have 20 listeners a week. We've got 1,000. That to me feels like, because in the article she had wrote that they target these on activists and people that are basically stirring up trouble. And, you know, shit, I mean, me and Janine are talking about this stuff basically every week. Why? Because I'm interested in it, and so is Janine, and I'm not afraid of it. So what I want to share, though, is, okay, so this past 6 days, I have definitely felt, you know, depleted, depressed, achy, you know, like I was at Scott's over the weekend. I had to literally come home. It was like, I can't really be here. I couldn't be with him relaxed. You know, it's like I needed my plants, my cat, and to be honest, and I needed alone time. But what I want to share is that there is a presence in me that literally experiences the depression from a space that is witnessing the depression, but it in and of itself is not depressed.
Yeah.
So it's really, because I called Alana this morning and I go, it's such a son of a bitch, because I am simultaneously feeling really, really panicky and scared and anxious and super excited, totally confident, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's really happening now and I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a note, it's a real moment when you start to notice that you're experiencing those places, but it's different now, and you're not pulled into that looping of the whole. I mean, you're experiencing a sadness, of a depression, a flatness, a fear, but you're also able to observe it, and that really
it's huge, and I'll tell you, I'm doing this even without the jet streams, which is like, it just ultimately says to me, you know, it's when you listen to George's work, he gets it that inevitably when he was on those tables and they used to, they used something on him to paralyze his being so they could do whatever they were doing, inevitably his presence came into his body, and no matter what they injected him with, no matter what they tied him with, he could get up off the table. And their jaws were like, What do you mean that you can move? You're not supposed to be able to move. But the truth is, presence trumps all their technology. I can't emphasize that enough right now. Presence trumps it.
Yeah.
So I don't even necessarily need. Now, believe me, I can't wait till the Y tells me it's those jacuzzis are fixed. Now here's what's interesting. Okay, so that night I don't have the jacuzzi, and I said that's very interesting. The following day, I get a virus on my computer. Now,
oh, right.
Now here's what's so interesting too. First of all, I got the virus on the computer downloading a free PDF book of David Icke. Before I hit download, I literally said out loud, "Don't do that, Goldie. What, are you crazy? What, are you kidding? A free PDF book of David Icke. If there's not a reptilian energy around that PDF book, I mean David Icke's work, it's like it's going to be riddled with it." And I download, enter. Now here's the interesting thing. As soon as it happened, I was so pissed off. But the witness part of me went, there are some things that I have to go through for purpose. Mm-hmm. So don't kick yourself in the ass. Find the purpose. Why did you have to go through that? And it ended up that my computer doctor recommended a nanny site. I was on care.com. She told me about this thing called Sitter City. And that's where I'm now advertising myself to get a job. And as soon as that came to me, I was like, bing, 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 we have a winner. That's the reason. I needed to get that information from her.
Right.
And you know, because, see, then I come into what happened this afternoon, Jay. Is it okay if I share that? And then we'll talk about the timing of all this.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm in the woods today, and, you know, at one point I called a friend up, and he didn't answer the phone, and that was fine. So I was in, I ended up jumping these two rocks, and I was, like, sitting in the middle of the reservoir. I wasn't near land, and I just left my phone and everything on the land. So the phone rings, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be my friend. So I miss the call. I pick up my phone, and it basically has a, okay, area code 732, I will bring you on the air. Just give me a minute because I want to finish the story. I have a feeling it's Elise, but I'm not sure, but I'll be right there. Hold on, Elise. So I look at the phone, and it's a friend of mine who I haven't talked to in a while. And I was like, oh, wow, this is not the friend I just called, in other words. So I called back the friend that it showed up that I missed the call, the friend I haven't talked to in a while. He doesn't answer the phone. And I was like, oh, okay. So then the phone rings again, and it's my friend who I did call. Have a conversation with him, hang up. Then I'm getting ready to leave the woods, like 40 minutes later, an hour later, whatever, time is irrelevant. And it was the friend who didn't pick up the call when I called him back. And I go, did you call me? And I didn't pick up. He goes, no, I'm calling you because you called me. And I said to him, I go, okay, the strangest thing just happened. And I told him that, because what happened was, when I looked at the number and saw Kenny is the friend that called me back. Kenny, I don't know how Kenny's name showed up as the missed call. Kenny never called me. That was not who the phone rang.
Right.
It was just who I saw, and I said, and strange enough, when I hit return call, it called him. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, it was so bizarre because I wasn't expecting Kenny to call me, not at all. And, you know, to give the clarity on this, So Kenny is also out of work, super down on himself. I mean, in all honesty, he's a divorced guy with two kids, and whenever he doesn't pay his child support, I'm going to say this with some gusto because it really does piss me off, his fucking wife puts him in jail, which just pisses me off because it is so much of that convolution you were talking about. where instead of supporting him to help him, because then he goes to jail and nobody will hire him because he's got a record.
Yeah.
And it's a system that is just insidious, in my humble. It is so reptilian, it's insidious. So he called me up and he goes, listen, I didn't pick up when you called because I'm at this place where a lady helps me get online and fill out applications, because he's a pretty simple guy. He doesn't have, you know, he's got a cell phone, but that's it. That's the extent of his technology. They don't play, you know, video games. Him, his brothers, none of them. They're all, you know, they're just heart of the earth people, salt of the earth people. And I said to him, I go, listen, I said, I'm going to need wood time tomorrow. I know it. I'm in a crazy space, too, and money is driving me up a wall, too. But after I go to the woods, I was like, do you have the web links where you need to go? Because this woman gave him links that of companies that hire people who do have a record. I go, do you have those links? He goes, yeah. I said, I'll pick you up. We come to my house. I'll help you fill out the applications. And he was like, wow, man. You know, he got all choked up, and I got choked up, and I was like, and as soon as I hung up the phone with him, I said, the first thing that came to my mind was, if you want to feel good, help somebody else feel good. I mean, that is a golden rule. Everybody knows it.
It really does shift the energy.
Oh, God, I was already feeling better just because I sat alone in the woods for an hour. But as soon as this happened, so then I was sitting on a rock talking to him, and when I finally got up after, you know, literally floating in my own joy that this whole, because remember, I don't know how his phone number ever even came up on my, he never actually called me. So how this thing happened was already in divinity. There's divine order taking place here. Then, as I'm walking up the hill, I smell skunk. And for those of you who follow me on Facebook know, ever since, 2 days ago, I've been very much connected to the skunk totem, which, wait, I just want to read this because I think it's important. The skunk's totems are all about, here, wait a minute, here they are. Okay, here's the wisdom the skunks bring. Understand how to walk your talk, reputation, sensuality, understanding energy flows, self-respect, courage, willpower, and self-confidence. Mm. And I'm telling you, it's still relatively winter around here, even though the rain has taken away a lot of the snow. So when I smelt the skunk within...
Like the language.
It literally, I went, the universe is talking, the world is telling me, yes, help Kenny, help him, help you, help him, help you.
Yeah.
Then I get into my car, and my car is, the number on my car is
1-3-3-3-3-3-3. I saw that.
I mean, it immediately set me into, okay, I'm rocking this now. I'm just rocking this. And everything made sense in the sense of it just helped me to go into a deeper aspect of the witness, because I still don't have a job, you know? but I'm not worried about not having a job. I will be all right. I want you to, if you have anything to share, and then we'll bring Elise on.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, it's just, things play out the way they play out, and just like your story, where, you know, when I woke up Saturday morning, I went, oh, it's kind of cooler in my room, that's kind of nice, and then I went downstairs and I went, oh, it's very cold down here, the heat's not on, and then I went, and that's not a good sign. So I you know, realized that the heat was broken, and I called, and he said, you know, the person said, well, we'll be able to get there in the afternoon. So that was going to be, you know, a day without heat. And I kind of knew it was going to be, I knew it was in probably a small part, but like I just had a feeling. But so when he came to finally, a very nice guy, you know, all he did was mention, you know, and personally, right now, with what I do and my work and my book, and, you know, I didn't really, really need or could I afford a problem with the heater. You know, it was like, you know, so he comes in, and he, the service guy, is so nice, and, oh, this is clap, just popped into my head. He comes in. Now, this is not typical of people who come into my house, especially someone who's just coming to do something.
Okay.
He comes in, and the first thing out of his mouth, he goes, oh, I love your house, it's so old. He goes, oh, was that dress here when you got here? Which is the art of the real magic gown is on the wall in my living room.
Oh.
And it struck me that this man noticed it right away and commented. Mm. And I said, oh, no, actually, that's an art piece I made, and thank you for noticing it. I said, that's not something that someone does. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I was an art major, but I like art. And he goes, oh, and he just, and then he notices the map on the giant original map of the Land of Ten Kings and Roses, which is in the Magic Gown, my book. So, okay, so now, you know, so that was a really different way to
begin. Like, he's a magical person from that kingdom. You know?
And not only that, but, like, it's just a really, it's not your typical way that someone would come in the house. They just never mention stuff like that. So he immediately noticed the magic gown, which is a tip off that, you know, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, his water is dripping.
So he mentioned something like, as he's going down the cellar to look at the heater, and then, you know, and I'm kind of like 5 minutes later going, how's it look? And he goes, not too good. So I said, oh, I kind of had a feeling about that. But, you know, he said something about an 8-year-old daughter, and I went, oh, does she like to read? And he goes, yeah, actually. And I go, oh, well, when you leave, I'll give you two of my books signed, my first and second book. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah. Because nothing makes me happier than to think that a reader, a little girl reader, boy reader, their father or mother comes home with signed books from the author. It's a win-win. She gets all excited because it's a personally signed book, and I get to know that there's a reader out there reading the book. So that's how that, you know, he goes, listen, this is how much it's going to be to fix it, which was hefty. You know, it's like $720. And this is how much, if you really want to be smart, you might think of replacing the heater, and this is how much it's going to be. And I'm like looking at it going, neither are really very good.
They're both pretty big.
But he did leave with my book, and he kept going back to the map. And it was just so interesting now that I'm telling the story about how he was so attracted to the art in the room. So he left, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I don't know. I guess I'll just go with the repair because I can't afford the full replacement. And so that's what I decide today. And even though part of me is going, the smart thing would be to replace it, but I can't afford it, so I'll go with the repair. So I literally called them up. And this is how things play out in a way in the universe that, like, you're like, you know, I'm seeing how this is working for me, and yet you have to keep going through the motions and not know the outcome. Because I said, I'm just going to repair it because that's what I can afford. So she goes, okay, so let me see about ordering the parts. So 2 hours later, you know, and I commit to that, and I'm like, okay, that's smart, Janine. And 2 hours later, she calls and she goes, well, you know, this one part is so unusual that it has to be replaced, that it's really hard to find, and we're going to have to go through the factory. But I just want you to know that the owner said that we could actually install the new heater tomorrow, and that we have zero financing for 12 months if you qualify. And I said, maybe, I don't know. I was like, well, okay, I'll go home, and you can do it online with their company. And I immediately qualified. And, you know, still I'm like, I'm just following what is actually playing out for me.
Well, the door that opened for you.
The door that opened for me, because I had made the other decision, but now this one was in play, and it was working out. And so I was like, well, okay. So there was just this, and Golden Hawk commented, Jay, you're so trusting that in 12 months you'll have the money for the heater, and it's 0% financing. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, because I do roll with it that way. You know, it's like, what is the moment now? What is the now calling for? Like, I'm not going to go in the future and worry. Right, and get in that way. I don't know. I've probably done that in the past, but experience and even that witness quality that Golden Hawk was talking about before, I've been down that road, and that looping and that worry is like, when you're in it, and you just can't really do much about it. But once you move out of that and you start getting that ability to witness it, and then, you really understand how things play out, and they're actually, I'm following something, and yeah. I trust it. I do trust it, and it's so, and it all started with Golden Hawk saying to me, and this was before today, because we had this conversation about when she said, and doing something for Kenny, and I said, it's so funny, because I gave that man the books just because I wanted to. It wasn't like...
No motive.
It was, and so you just, this is a complete unattached to outcome situation. Making decisions based on what I think I should be doing, and yet there was an unfolding that it was occurring that was really kind of facilitating really the right thing to happen for me. And so, the jury's still out, man. I don't know.
The jury's out, but I'll tell you, her choice, Janine's choice, actually brought me comfort because...
A really good point.
I could feel her trust, and which just...
It comforted me.
And, of course, here's the irony, right? I worked tonight for one of my families. Two things happened when I went to work tonight. One, she told me that she's deciding she might take a job that would require more hours from me, which I went, okay, there it is.
Right.
And then I come home, and I've been looking for a job. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't have anything going on normally with either family, Anya and Tahana, or Aki and Mia's. And I was like, God, it would really be great if I could just fill up those days, because if I could fill up those days with significant hours, I wouldn't be so stressed that the families I do work for who are only giving me 8 or 4 hours,
right.
It would be bonus. It wouldn't be, my life support. And there's an email in my email box from Sitter City, it's one of those an alert. It has to be answered right away. I forget how they short notice. It's a short notice.
Yeah.
Somebody with a 5-month-old little boy in Greenwich, which is fat cash. I mean, just stupid money for Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 to 5.
Really?
I jumped on it like sob drooling, Goldie. Just write the email. I'm very confident, and even if I don't get it, where I stand at this moment,
right?
It all shifted today.
It shifted.
Exactly.
Yeah, and me in the cold lane here, at 4 a.m. I mean, I was going, yeah, repair it. That's your best option. It's what you got to do, and then it just unfolds the way it unfolds, and.
Listen, a year from now, because this is a message I think is so imperative for everybody listening to understand. Don't wait for the outside world to make you feel better.
Right. That is such a good point.
Feel better because something synchronistic showed up, like a skunk. Jeez,
right, right.
A skunk shows up and immediately took me into a deeper space of, I am supported because my being is my sustenance. Because there is so much going on around the internet or around Facebook saying, I want you to share on this. And then we're definitely going to bring Elise on. Hang in there, Elise. We're definitely going to bring you on. The sharing of, if you're not attracting money to you right now, you don't have self-confidence. All right, take it away, Jay.
So I said, so that means that people that have money in excess definitely have self-esteem? And she goes, exactly.
I mean,
it's such a ludicrous...
It's ludicrous.
Totally ludicrous, and...
It's praying, P-R-E-Y. It is preying on those that are leaving the matrix. In fact, what Janique, it's convolution. It's so people can start pointing at you and go, you're not doing it right. You're not doing
right.
And it's like, you know, in all honesty, flip them the bird and go, I'm not playing at all.
It's just flip the belief system, and you know, and
the bird, you know, because it's just so much fun to flip. Sorry,
not the great.
I'm the emotional one.
I know you finally realized that. That's good.
So you listen, if you're not making a whole lot of money and you know that you're leaving the matrix, don't wait for the outside world. Take these signs as truly the miraculous, because they are miraculous. They really, really are.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring Elise.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Okay, 732, you're on the air.
Hello, Goldie. Hello, Janine. It's Elise.
Hey,
how you doing?
Yay! What's up, sweetheart?
Hi. It's just, wow, just an amazing day of synchronicity. And I'm just so grateful to tap into your show tonight. I missed the first hour, but, you know, just listening to you guys talk kind of caught me up to speed or whatever. And I just wanted to share a couple things that are pretty similar to what y'all are going through. And,
outstanding. I love it.
You
thank
know,
you. Thank you.
When I got this house, you know, I kind of fell into it, and I had two jobs at that time, and then one went away, and then, you know, here I am, fast forward, and my nanny job, she owed me a bunch of hours, and last week she gave me a check, even though I didn't work the hours, and that was the beginning of the divine synchronicity and the ups and the downs, Goldie, like you were talking about too. You know,
right on.
You know, so I, you know, there was this part of me that wanted to, like, not tell her off, but have my voice, be in my authenticity and say, look, you promised me this. It's the end of the freaking month. It hasn't happened. You know, I wanted to go there, you know, but my guides and my authenticity and my soul just said, shut up, be quiet, watch what happens. So the last day of the month, she gives me the check. And she says, we couldn't work you, but, you know, we love you so much. You're great with Mason and the dog, and we don't want you to leave us, you know.
Nice.
And
nice.
So
that's
I was
there's
really
There's appreciation,
happy.
Man. There it is.
Yeah. You know,
also
and
Also
so,
that ability to hold what, you know, your emotion, and then it played out, and you saw that you didn't even that you didn't have to interfere.
Right.
That's
self-discipline is what I'm trying to tell, like, I'm trying to teach this to my kids. That is the sign of sovereignty.
Yeah,
to have the feeling but not respond to it.
Right.
And
let it play out, not try to control it.
Exactly.
Right. And like you were talking earlier, don't be attached to the outcomes. And, you know, like, this house has been such a gift for me because I've been able to be out and playing in nature and digging in the earth and doing everything that I wanted to do with my part to support, you know, the energy of what's happening right now. And today it was a tough day because I got out there this morning and something was going on with my car and I've been having these troubles, you know. And, you know, I'm just about to make rent this month, and I'm like, okay, and then the car messes up, you know, but the whole theme for the day was just like, just stay in the moment, it's all going to work out, and I'm like, okay, I need some signs, you know, I just need some signs, you know, and okay, so give me some signs, you know, so I come home, and I said, well, I'm just going to get outside, and the sun came out, and I'm going to take the, I have a rack on top of my car that I traveled with, and I'm going to take that off and clean my car and honor her and just appreciate all the, you know, the good work she's done and just kind of send her this good energy and everything. And, you know, I'm out in the sun, everything's cool. I'm jamming some music, and all of a sudden, I lock my keys in the car. The door actually slams accidentally, you know, and it locks. I can't find my spare key, so I'm like, I look up, and I go around all four doors, and they're locked, right? And I go, okay, I need some divine help now, really. I just really need some help because I'm going to be really embarrassed to have to call the roadside service that I've locked my keys in my car. Oh, great, my phone's in my fucking car. Great. And I'm like, oh, isn't this funny? You know, and so at that moment I had a decision to, like, either cuss a blue streak, you know, or just laugh at it and go, okay, well, whatever's going to be, it's going to be. When all of a sudden I'm led around to the other side of my car door and it is open.
Open or unlocked? Open, like, actually a jar?
It had opened a crack, y'all. Now, I went around all four doors and tried.
Wow.
I know.
See, listen, I'm telling you, there are forces that be.
There are some forces here. But it only gets better. It only gets better. Wait, let me finish. This is so cool. So, okay, so I'm like, okay. So I look up to the heavens. I'm like, thank you very much. And so I'm just playing and having a good time. And I'm thinking about, okay, well, now this car, you know, has just leaked a bunch of antifreeze down the driveway. And I'm like, great, you know. So worst case scenario, could be my water pump, it could be my transmission. I mean, I took myself through all of that, and I went, well, on the other hand, it might be something really simple. Who knows? Whatever's going to be is going to be. So universe, you know, I need some help again. And about an hour later, my phone rings. And I had answered this ad for a merchandising job back in February, and I forgot all about it. And I thought it was a telemarketer, and again, I almost was like, if the guy, and forgive me because I'm not prejudiced, but the Indian people who have these accents and you can't understand them, I just get really upset and want to hang up on them, and I usually do. Well, this guy calls up on the phone. Thank God he wasn't Indian. I was about ready to hang up, and my guys go, don't do it. Shut up and wait. And so he introduces himself and he tells me, did you fill out an application for an application? I said, yeah, a lot of them. For what is this? And he said, for a merchandiser, and blah, blah, blah. And then everything was cool. And he offered me the job, sight unseen, just for my resume alone.
Wow.
And bam, just like that, I got a job between 30 and 40 hours a week, and I can work around my nanny job.
I got you, baby. You're still here.
Oh.
Wow.
So I can work around my nanny job, make my own hours. I was like, okay, that's really cool. You know, and it just kind of ties into, you know, you were talking about earlier about the whole money situation and people about, well, if people don't have money and blah, blah, blah. Well, that brings me to the rich. I have been, I have been putting myself out there in a way to attract more abundance, and so I'm trying to work with having a millionaire mentality on all levels, you know. And so I've been attracting a lot of entrepreneurs, and so I attracted this man who came up who was an entrepreneur, and he turned out to be a really, really asshole type guy, but it was really interesting because the lessons that I learned from it were like priceless. And, you know, just the lessons from, you know, but yet our souls did touch in a way. It was really, I guess I opened this person up to his soul so much so that when he met me, he just couldn't handle it, you know. And he was really, how can I say, just all about his money and his stuff and his, you know, just really kind of arrogant. But here's the signals that I missed. The universe had let me know a couple of times, because we had a couple of, you know, riffs and tiffs and everything. But, you know, person that I am, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. There were signals that I ignored. So the biggest gift that I learned was, you know what? I've done hard relationships. I have been programming for easy. So the universe brings me hard to make sure I've learned the lesson. Oh, got it. Got it, universe. Thank you. You know,
well,
so,
and as long as you, you know, whatever the message you're getting, you know, just like when before I hit that download for that virus, I mean, I really did know it. I went, it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you. See, if I don't get the virus, I don't get the connection to the Sitter City.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because, you know, because a thousand people can tell you, you know, if you knew it, then why'd you do it? And, you know, George Kavassalis talks about the L-O-R-E, or the lore of life, which means there are things that are destined or predetermined, so to speak, that my soul is going, you're going through that. Because I really do believe that in this paradigm shifting that's going on, and let us not underestimate, there is a paradigm shift of reality going on. Mm-hmm. So what we think we know, you know, to say that I'm only going to move in the direction, quote unquote, that I know, is so arrogant and ignorant, because we don't know the new paradigm. And we have to be willing to, A, make mistakes, B, tell the truth. We have to start willing to trust what I would call the upside downness of the conditioning. Because what are we becoming aware of? We are clearly becoming aware of that there is it's not a conspiracy. It's a truth that we have been kept, you know, in a conscious cage. Mm-hmm. And so in order to come out of that conscious cage, like I said, the key is you got to be willing to, I mean, your goal has to be that you want to leave the matrix. If you want to just play in the matrix, then by golly, keep doing what you've always done, because you haven't left anything. But if you want to leave the matrix, you really got to be willing to, you know, Janine once said it best. I said this in a couple of shows ago. I listened to it the other night, and I wrote it down again because it made so much sense. And that is, discovery only happens when you enter it. You have to enter a situation.
You have to enter the land in order to discover it. I mean, you know, there is no discovery unless you enter. Right?
So it can't be just that you learned, you know, that it was hard. It's like, I really invite you to say, well, what if he brought you a piece of your soul that was in the challenge?
I'm sure there was some sort
there's
of
not,
divine.
That's not a learning. Yeah. That's a recovery. I feel like the things that we're going through has very much to do with recovery of self. And I don't mean recovery like the recovery, you know, in an AA meeting, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. That's not the kind of recovery I'm talking about. I'm talking about soul aspects of self that literally are in people. And the only way to recover those aspects is to dance with them.
Yeah, or
because,
collide with them or something.
We danced, and it wasn't really that bad, but at the end of the day, different things were coming together or whatever, and I was thinking, wow, this, that, the other.
Well, look at how much synchronicity has happened since that. So, because the reason why I say this is, if you get another chance to dance with a millionaire, don't necessarily go, well, I've already learned that lesson, because you'll know in the moment if you stay open to it, because the moment may require you to dance with another arrogant son of a bitch because he has another piece of you.
Right. But if I'm leaving the matrix, what am I doing? I'm still participating right now in the matrix, you know, like with my car situation.
Well, we
it's
all
like, okay.
Are.
You know, right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know,
and you are recovering pieces of yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
you
if that's indeed what you believe is happening. See, I believe I'm recovering pieces when I do something, quote unquote, that is harmful or frustrating or dealing with something that, you know, is like, oh, God damn it, what am I doing? You know, it's like, because I've surrendered to the lore. You know, in other words, I can't look for my life to be, quote-unquote, in a perfection of just, I feel good, it's all expansive, it's all beautiful, because it's not going to fit the way my soul is going to return to me. My soul is going to return to me in that I have negative pieces out there of myself, or dark pieces of, organically dark, in pieces of myself, and the only way to get that is to go through a dark experience. So I have to be open that I could be going through dark experiences until I actually walk through the fifth dimensional portal that gets me to there. You know, because we're so programmed to turn away from the dark experience, but what if the dark experience is what holds all of self in it?
Yeah, that's really good. Right. That's a really good point. Like, because in the challenge, there's really a treasure, and, you know, you put yourself in there
for a reason, and it's not a mistake. You know,
and two more entrepreneurs have shown
up.
Two more have shown up. One of them is really into cars, so maybe he might be the one that's going to help me fix my car, because the guy that looked at my car tonight could not. You know.
Yeah, I used to date mechanics when my car needed help. I used to date people who fixed heaters when my heater broke. And it was always like 2 months or whatever before it happened. And then I'd laugh and go, well, you know, God bless. If you're going to date a lot of people, at least have a good timing thing going. And I always had a good timing thing with that. Mm-hmm. And then the relationship shortly afterwards would dissolve. And it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, and it's so funny because I've been with Scott now 5 years. I'm not quite sure what we're fixing with this, but it's apparently taking a little longer than a couple of months.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I just
that's
am so grateful to have you guys around me, because I'm really trying not to panic, you know, and just allow some synchronicities to happen and just flow and not attach to the outcome and just trust that it's going to work itself out. And it always does.
Exactly. You
know.
Exactly.
So, but when we're in it, you know, it's just that uncomfortability that we're feeling. It's just like, okay, all right.
Yeah, which is, and we're programmed to run from that. So the resisting the running from that is truly self-mastery, to actually not run from it and allow ourselves to continue to be uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, this is the wisdom that Janine is bringing to me that is changing my life. And, of course, the irony is, so what's changing my life is I'm allowing myself to feel like shit. I mean, who would have thunk this? Who would have thunk this? But the truth is, I do it consciously, so I'm not feeling like shit, and I'm not victimized by feeling like shit.
Well, because it's empowering. It's empowering.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it is. And I was just thinking about that today as well, about how fear, you know, not collapsing in fear. I mean, you can recognize that you're feeling fear, that you're in fear, but that's a real tip off to let it roll. It's okay. There's something there for you. Yeah. And that's the opposite of what we've been conditioned. You know,
it's so funny, Janine.
I mean, and I'm talking to myself right now, because, you know,
as well as all of us.
Well, yeah, right. It's so funny, because today I was about ready to have a meltdown, and I said to myself, no. I said, you know, I'm just going to go, if I go in the bed and sit and cry, what good is that going to do? I'm just going to get up and trust that it's going to happen. And all of a sudden I hear outside my window this, meow. I'm like, what? My cat, who hasn't been around for 3 or 4 days, he showed up, right?
Oh,
nice. And this time, Goldie, and you'll appreciate this, what's interesting is, you know, he's a stray cat, and whenever I come out, he either, you know, makes these funny noises at me or he runs away. Well, this time, he walked away from me, turned around, laid down on all fours, and just looked at me. And I was like, wow. So I brought him some food. And this time he turned his back to me, which he never had, which is a sign of trust. He turned his back when he ate, and I was so blown away. And then he came back tonight, again, right before the mechanic showed up. I'm like, wow, he's never come back twice. That's got to be a really good sign. So it just made me
That's
feel
great.
Really good, you know, that it's all going to work itself out, because he's never come back. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen with this car tomorrow, but interestingly enough, I don't have work till next Monday, so whatever it is, I don't have to work.
Well, I'll tell you, I have experienced that on so many occasions, that when I don't need to, like, I'll stop working because something will need my attention that I couldn't do because I was working. So many, and again, this is the journey of the soul. The soul is not about you make money as the equivalent to tell you how soulful you are. I mean, nothing could be farther from the truth. Because, humbly, my senses and an awareness that I am so fucking aware right now. It is, I love it now, but I'm aware of a lot of darkness. So, but I'm also aware of, you know, things like skunks talking to me and triple threes, five threes. but I'll tell you, the whole financial system is so fake. I've read up on things where, you know, bankers are giving themselves in their accounts, you know, ones with 46 zeros after them. And, you know, the truth is, the planet has an economy of, like, I think it's like $78 trillion. That's the actual economy of gold-backed dollars. But the numbers that the elite and the Illuminati are talking are gazillions and quadrillions. And the truth is, we all got caught up in, you know, selling apartments for $1 million. And, like, I was telling Janine that when I lived in Buffalo in 2002, this gentleman had these newspapers from, like, 1840s. And it was so funny. I wasn't interested in the articles or what they were talking about. What caught my eye was the advertisements. And they were selling dresses for $1.36 and a sewing machine for, you know, 79 cents. And when I did the math of the amount of years to where we are, the amount of inflation that happened in our pricing, which clearly did not happen in our income, right, was so prevalent and obvious to me. It's like, it's fake. The system is built on fake. And the beauty is, you know, Gandhi said it. Anything that's built on a false identity will collapse. It has to collapse. And my senses right now are the dike has many holes. Holes are, because I'm talking, one of the things on the Rachel Zoe,
yeah.
She was bringing up how the designers, she was bringing up the economy, that the designers won't just put out their couture all around the world, to giving it to potential, you know, dress people that dress up the stars, and that there was a less of a selection. And what I'm basically getting at is, okay, so the designers who are clearly part of the Matrix, I mean, give me a fucking break. There are so many reptilians, you know, in that whole industry. So they're feeling this economics, and yet, who was it that I was watching? Oh, I was watching Jerseylicious, which is they're hairdressers and makeup artists out of New Jersey. And they aren't talking about the economy slowing down at all. And these are literally grassroots people who own a salon here and a salon there. And I went, because, see, it is the top. It's going to collapse on the bottom, but it's like it's already, if you read Ben Fulford's work, you'll see that, you know, the Bushes no longer have the influence they had, and all the elite, literally, their money's not welcome in 180 countries that are forming a coalition against the 28 countries that are basically elite run, and it is happening, you know. So there's a sense that I get that it's a matter of whether I get a job or not. The holes are popping. The dike is going. It can't hold the truth that the whole financial system is corrupted. It's deceptual. It's elusive. It's just not fucking real. And that is going to make itself known in the grand arena, as George calls it. And I just got to ride out the wave until then. I mean, it's as simple as that. I got to ride out the wave until then. So that's why I share with everybody, if you're leaving the Matrix, don't worry if you don't even get the job. Just keep one day at a time, and if it gets really bad, 1 hour at a time. Because, you know, it's like, you ever see that picture on Facebook where there's two people digging in a mine, and they show that the guy gives up when he's just one more stroke away from hitting gold. You know, it's like, and who are we kidding? All of us that are leaving the Matrix, do you think you can quit this gig? Do you really think you can get off this train and go, I'm not going to play here anymore? Of course, we know we can't. I don't even have to ask you, because you're like me. We are so driven to see this to the end. We are driven because the end is the birthing of us into the fifth dimension. It is, that is our end in this lifetime. So, you know, the polarized experiences, the darker it gets, the closer we get to 0 point. Hands down, that is science. That is meta-science. That it might not be shared through, you know, the Discovery Channel, but that doesn't make it any less truthful. But the science
says... Or maybe like the higher the creative tension. You know, it's like, can you hold the space in the creative tension? Because that's where, the 0 point's probably right there.
Of course it is. Of course.
Right.
And it makes so much sense. That's why don't let the outside world determine what you're feeling about yourself. Let it trigger you, because remember, in the triggers, we gain pieces of ourselves back.
Right.
But as a general description of self, I'm good. And I'm telling you, I'm as fucking whacked as the next guy, and I bless you all for allowing me to rant and speak my craziness, because I think that we also feel that underneath, we know it. We know the truth is that we are going to birth. And as long as we know that, onward, upward, inward, outward, you know, I'm not going anywhere.
I'm not asking for predictions, ladies, but, you know.
No, right on.
Do we get the sense that it's going to happen the month of March? Do we get the sense it's going to be a little later? You know, does anybody have, you know, like, or are we just kind of not attaching to any of the outcomes and trusting it's going to happen when it's going to happen, you know?
Well, I do believe March will have, put it this way, I believe that December 21st was significant, especially if you look back today. If we look back at what has shifted since December 21st, it's clear something shifted. But see, I think the December 21st was the artificial shifting. Now, I think March 21st will be the organic shift, and I absolutely believe that whether it's the collapse or whatever, we'll see it, because those of us who are leaving the Matrix will resonate so deeply from an organic. It will be not the shift that is the artificial light and dark battling, which I've clearly seen the battle, and I've seen the people who step up to the plate and own their stuff and, you know, let go of their shame and speak and post their truth. But the shift that's coming in March, now this is organic. And so I don't know how it will be, but I definitely believe we'll feel it because we are organic. It is us that is shifting. It's actually, remember, we're the microcosm, we're the holograph of all of it. So, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see what's going to happen in March. What about you, Jay?
Me
what
too.
Do you think?
Well, it is March already.
Oh, I mean the 21st, too. Okay.
Oh, well, I feel like, you know, it is happening already because, and has been organically, because I feel that when you can sense that the perceptions of reality are shifting, or even the knowledge of what reality is, that I can feel it, but I can't quite explain it, but it's because it is the unknown, but it's like having that kind of visionary quality where you sense it's there.
Exactly.
And I feel that that's happening right now.
Right.
And it is in a progression, you know, so if you cooperate with it and you let it unfold and, you know, get comfortable with the unknown and recognize the fear comes up, but just keep going back to
the center.
I really think that that's happening now.
You're right on.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Oh, it makes all sense. You know what I'm saying? That hits every point. My smell factory, my visual, my instincts. That's exactly. I'm telling you guys should all have a partner like Janine. I highly find your Sam Gamgee. What's his last name?
Samwise
Gamgee. Find your Samwise Gamgee and start a radio program. Listen, we're going to go off the air in a few minutes.
Okay.
We can talk for a few minutes, but I want to let everybody know in the chat room, thank you so much for being here. I see that you're here, Lala, who is Brandy. And Rich, thanks for being here. And Trisha and Dennis, I appreciate all you guys, and Susan and Art, and
thank you from me, from Janine.
Yeah, right on, baby.
Yes, thank
right
you.
On. And thank you, Elise. Elise is one
of our
wonderful devoted listeners as well. I appreciate that. And
always an honor to talk with you guys. And you guys, thank you so much. Guys
back at you. Powerful shares. I love powerful shares. Yeah.
And I think your stray cat's mirroring back to you a lot of good things. So I like that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It is a beautiful thing. So actually though, all right, I'm good. You wanna call it a night, Jay?
I'm good, yeah.
I'm good too. And
great night, thank you.
Yeah, no, don't make sure you tell people where to find you.
Oh, all right. How about jlkimmel.com or Janine L. Kimmel on Facebook? Thanks, Goldie.
Yeah, absolutely. Here. And actually, I got nothing in the works right now, so next Monday we'll be here. I appreciate everybody listening. See you all on Facebook or in the ethers or in my dream state. I love you all. This really is, we're rocking it, you know. It's getting tough, but that's part of the plan. Beyond that, we're rocking it. We are, and I'm stoked. So, I love you guys.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, Elise.
Good night, Elise.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Love you all. Daddy Bo.
Bye.
I'm so glad I had
Together.
We have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.